Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, our second consecutive night on the air. Tyler Scott behind the glass here tonight, and welcome into your show, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. As always, our thanks to our presenting sponsor, the Texas Children's Hospital. We're off and running here tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in throughout the show. There's a number of topics we can carry over from last night. I think the primary one that a lot of people were weighing in on was the fact that here in Houston, Texas, we have a wonderful opportunity. And I know it's a ways off, but in order to win these bids, you begin working right now. That's what the Harris County Houston Sports Authority is doing, and that is hosting World Cup games here. The hope is to get 5 or 6 games at Energy Stadium. Houston, one of the great soccer cities in the United States. I think we all know that. How amazing it would be to wake up here in Houston in your home, knowing that you're going to a historic World Cup match. Remember, the World Cup is only every 4 months. Every 4 months. That is what makes it special. And that is what makes a singular goal from a Panamanian player a national hero for the rest of his life. So it is the uniquest of unique. And we could be hosting it here. What a boon it could be for Houston, Texas, who has been so good at hosting events here throughout the years, whether it's the NCAA Final Four, whether it's Super Bowls, you name it. Houston, Texas has been great at hosting it. And that's before we get into all the great soccer matches that have been held at Energy Stadium, the big ones, and at BBVA Compass Stadium. And don't forget, tonight we've got tickets to Mexico, Uruguay. We'll be giving those out tonight. For those of you who are watching on Facebook Live, I'm going to hold up now a signed Mexico jersey. Okay, so we're going to give this signed El Tri jersey here away, littered with signatures of all the Mexican greats. So be ready for that tonight at 713-780-3776. Again, Texas Children's Hospital, they are our presenting sponsor here in the first hour. They've got 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. So, a couple of things. World Cup in Houston. What would it mean to you to go to a World Cup game here in Houston in 2026? And do you think we have a great shot at winning the bid? Janice Smees, who heads up Houston-Harris County Sports Authority, says we're a lock, but there's still work to do. So what are your thoughts on the World Cup here in 2026, or is it just too far out of sight, out of mind for you right now? It can't be, though, for a city that has to convince FIFA that we're one of the best and deserve to host World Cup matches. So that's why the wheels are spinning already. Doug Hall has been on the show before. We'll get Doug back on again to talk World Cup 2026 here in Houston. Next week, we'll get David Fletcher on. We'll continue to really promote this through my show because we want the World Cup here. Anthony Precourt, the Columbus Crew, looks set to move to Austin. It's Austin FC. What are your thoughts on Austin being a Major League Soccer city? Are you convinced? We do know it's a millennial city. It's a college town with the University of Texas there, but it's also a very creative, energetic, great city here in Texas. What do you think about that? Would that benefit the Houston Dynamo having a rival that close? And, of course, our hearts go out to the Columbus Crew fans. I don't think any question. If you remember when the San Jose Earthquakes were extracted, there were a lot of angry people in San Jose, and they had a right to be angry. They didn't have a right to be mad at Houston soccer fans, and Columbus fans don't have a right to be upset at Austin soccer fans who want professional soccer. It's not their fault. But the fact is, it's looking like this could move, and we'll talk about that tonight. Josef Martínez broke the goal-scoring record in Major League Soccer. I'd love your thoughts on that as well. And Manchester United, we're going to probably play that sound again from Jose Mourinho a little bit later on in the show. What's going on? Now, today, you know, we're getting a lot of conditioning. What a great first half it was for United. I don't know if it was great. They certainly had the chances to take the league. And everybody who does the what if, well, what if Romelu Lukaku scores from that angle? The whole day could have changed. Well, no kidding. I mean, isn't that the game? It's part of the game. What if? I think it's more about how right now. I'm stealing this from Dick Vitale. But it is how and what is going on and why is it going on for Manchester United. So you got this Ed Woodward, who's a board member, battling it out with Jose. Now, today they're saying in the Manchester papers that United is fully behind Jose. You get the weird clapping with a section of fans where Jose said, you know, like he made it sound like the whole stadium was there. Well, the whole stadium emptied out at 2-0 at Old Trafford. So what really is the problem? Shouldn't we just go back? You know, look, if you're a loyal Manchester United fan, you're behind Jose, you're behind the club always. I get that. I don't see it like that because I'm playing devil's advocate here. What I see is the wrong manager for the wrong team, and I said that from the start. Tactically, he's not a fit. He's always a player for a manager that is about buying and bringing in and solving problems through purchasing players. Okay, he had a very defined system with Inter Milan. Very defined system with Chelsea. It's not a system tactically that I think fits with the Manchester United way. I don't know. You tell me if all the Manchester United fans are behind Jose Mourinho. But I understand. Okay, he wanted another center back. He wanted Harry Maguire from Leicester. Would that have totally changed the season? It's possible. Good business done by Liverpool. Big goalkeeping issue may have cost them a Champions League final. They went out and got a goalkeeper. They spent big to get him. They want to win. They also went out and got Naby Keita to shore up a midfield. And then prior to that, they went and spent real money on Virgil van Dijk, and they've got a pillar in defense, and they've got a guy that now, to me, is growing in stature by the game as a leader and could be a leader at Liverpool for many, many years to come. So they've addressed, finally, real needs. And they spent a lot of money to do it. You know, so we can look at this from many, many different ways. Manchester United is not giving Jose the resources. Jose is not the right fit. I'm going to say it's a little bit of everything. I don't think if you're Alexis Sanchez, I don't think if you're Marcus Rashford and you're real attacking players, you're having a good time playing in Jose Mourinho's system, where there are restraints and you are asked in some ways to maybe curb organically the creative side of your game. Alexis Sanchez hasn't done anything, has he, for Manchester United since he's arrived? Think of the freedom he had at Arsenal. It's a very different time for Alexis Sanchez. At the back, they were in shambles on a couple of the goals in the second half from Spurs, and I think the big miss here is that we're not giving Spurs enough credit. Because you know what? Teams that battle through first halves, escape, somehow survive, find their game in the second half, have to be honored. I don't think there's any question. Now, Spurs didn't do anything to improve their roster. And we could sit here and say, well, I guess it's not going to be enough. Then again, we remember Leicester City won the Premier League title. So I think we have to be very, very careful. 713-780-3776. Give me your Premier League thoughts after three rounds of the Premier League. Liverpool has a perfect 9 points, and they haven't conceded a goal, which obviously I think will kind of play in towards the whole idea of they've improved their goalkeeping, they've improved their back four, and you got Naby Keita now in midfield from Red Bull Leipzig. So there's some real commonality there in things happening. By the way, Wayne Rooney, Major League Soccer, who can't be impressed with what this guy has done coming to MLS? Honestly, the professionalism, the way he's carried himself, doing all the media he's doing. He's a designated player living up to it. I'd like your thoughts on that. And if you're an ex-Manchester United or you're a Manchester United fan, I'd love to hear what you have to say on Wayne Rooney, because I think he's been exceptional. I think the way he has carried himself, we should all really be grateful that he's brought that sort of an attitude to Major League Soccer, which doesn't, I think, surprise me, that's for sure. And I don't think it surprises a lot of people because of the respect he's always shown for the game and the way he's played the game. I do think there were people that think maybe there was too much mileage on his legs. Maybe so. 713-780-3776. Now, Manchester City, remember, in their match, they end up in a 1-1 draw with Wolves. Tell you what, that was a game that needed a video assistant because they got, for lack of a better word, screwed on two calls. On the other hand, there's a lot of people saying, you know what, I want the human element, and it's okay that there's human error. I'm getting a little bit overboard now on VAR and the amount of discussion at Spurs now. And referees holding flags and waiting, you know, an extra 5 seconds before they lift the flag, not only confusing them, but confusing the players and confusing fans because we're thinking somebody else could join the play and maybe the flag has gone up too early. David Silva, I mean, he was fouled twice on that penalty. I'm sorry, it was Brighton Hove and Albion. That's who they played. Silva was kicked and pushed, so you could have called a foul twice on him. But, you know, you look at the angle of the referee and you look at how fast it happens, and you can understand how he might have thought that Silva got tangled up with his own legs. Part of the Premier League, or do you like it the way it is? We talked last night about the Seattle Sounders in a GM vote. Every 4 years, they have an alliance council, which is made up of fans. They're half-season ticket holders or full-season ticket holders. Every 4 years, they have the chance to vote the general manager out. It makes the fans more inclusive. They've talked about keeping their ticket prices down because they want masses at their games. These are the things they're doing to build a huge base. So let's also talk about that tonight because I think that's a very, very interesting topic. And that's called the Alliance Council. That was brought in by Drew Carey. And Drew Carey was quoted as saying, there's no other fan base in the country that can do that for any sport, have the opportunity to oust the GM if they don't like what's going on. Danger is reactionary fans, but I think they have to have 2/3 majority vote for, in this case, it would be Garth Lagerwey, who's done a lot of great things in MLS. I don't see it happening. I don't see Garth Lagerwey going anywhere. But the process engages your fans, and this is what it's about, engagement on so many different levels. That's important, I think, for MLS teams, and we see it happening. 713-780-3776. AY, start us off here tonight. You got a little thought on the Premier League. What's up, AY?
Hey, good evening, Glenn.
How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Very good, thank you. I'm talking soccer, so it's always fun, and that means I'm doing good.
And also, I missed you last week. What happened?
Where did I miss you?
No, I think you are not on the radio.
Oh no, week. We didn't go last week. I was back in New Jersey with parents. We went yesterday and tonight, so we're going Monday, Tuesday this week to make up for last week. So,
I didn't know about Monday. Maybe because I was watching tennis. But
if you were watching Nadal, that's not a bad thing. Watching Nadal, right?
But for this guy, David Ferrer, he retired, so it wasn't an interesting game. He retired along the way, maybe because of the heat or something like that. Yeah, he had a calf injury. But let me talk about soccer. You know, I'm a Chelsea fan, and you could at least, I'm really impressed what Sarri is doing right now at the club.
Yes.
But one thing, like on Sunday, when we played against Newcastle, you saw what Rafa Benitez did. He was trying to take out Hazard. Every time he was hacked, they were so rough on him, just trying to get Hazard down, which wasn't, I don't know. I'm thinking that if Hazard plays off the bench, would it not be better coming off the bench like he did in the first two games than being a starter? Because all those defenders were just trying to hack him and get him out of the game.
I think we have to think about that. First of all, Eden Hazard does not want to be a guy that's a super sub off a bench. I think we know that. Do you have to protect him at some point of the year where you don't maybe start him, or if you think he's fatigued and you protect him? I think you do, because he's such a major asset, and there's still talk of him potentially moving on. I know you don't want to hear that. But I think that's, you know, look, you bring players in late in games that have that acceleration against fatiguing defenders. It's an unbelievable advantage. The question is, you know, do you want to survive initial stages of games and then slip him on? I mean, it looks as though that's, you know, been something he's doing. He's bringing him on for Willian. I always like Chelsea when Willian and Hazard are both in the lineup, because I'm the guy who wants aesthetics and I just want attacking soccer. And I may not be thinking about the win and loss as much, right? So Pedro's getting a start now. So I like what Sarri's doing so far. I think it's a great start for him to be getting points early in the league. I mean, to be on 9 points is wonderful, but, you know, it is early stages here.
The game I'm looking forward to is the September 29th game against Liverpool. That's an 11:30 a.m. game. That's when I would know whether we are really tested or not. And also, I realize that we now control most of the possession. On Sunday, we had 82% of ball possession. It has never happened with Chelsea, controlling, having that ball possession. Even against Arsenal, we controlled most of the game. That's the truth. We always have that ball possession. That's what Sarri has brought in, his possession, football. And again, one more thing before I go.
Let me just say something to that, AY, before you finish up. Don't forget, okay. Newcastle didn't want the ball, right?
Yes.
No, they didn't want the ball. I mean, they wanted it in a few moments that could maybe change the game, but they defended deep. They were compact. They did a good job of it. They made it a real challenge for Chelsea, but they didn't want the ball. So that's why the numbers are going to be very stacked possession-wise.
All right. Then, finally, I want to ask this seriously. Is there a better midfield trio in the Premiership than Kante, Kovacic, and Jorginho? Is there any better midfield trio?
I think a lot of people would make a claim to that. I think Spurs would, Liverpool would. I think there's a few teams that would. City would certainly make a claim to saying they're better. But I do think it's got a nice blend. I think anytime you got Conte in a midfield, you got a man that can run for two people. What about Liverpool now getting Naby Keita, right? He's kind of a Conte type guy that can play for almost two men. What a signing he's been!
Yeah, that's true. I like our midfield of Jorginho, Conte, and Kovacic. That midfield is okay.
What about your back four? What about David Luiz? Does he got the patience positionally to play center back for Chelsea with Rudiger?
I would have preferred Sarri to try Christensen than David Luiz. Mm-hmm. Then even Alonso at the left fullback, you know, he's used to going forward. So that left side of the back line is always leaking because he's always coming forward. He's not as good as Kuzleta, who comes forward and always recovers.
Correct.
So yes, but I would have. Hope he can try.
But let's face it, Alonso's not a defender, really, is he? He's they're hoping he's going to play large portions of the game in midfield and an opponent's final third. But he's fun to watch. I like Marcos Alonso. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
But what about our guy Victor Moses? Is he going to get many minutes this year?
With the system he's using,
it's hurting him.
4-3-3. Except he's going to replace Willian or Pedro at the right side of the field. He won't play the left-hand side of the field. So he might not get many minutes, but because of the number of games, there's the League Cup, there's the Europa Cup. So he will mix it up. He will definitely mix it up because there will be a lot of matches, especially towards December, with all the Europa and League Cup. So he's going to mix it up.
Hey,
that's my opinion.
thank you so much for calling in. You're always insightful. Good luck to your Chelsea this coming weekend. I thank you very much. Do you go down with the Chelsea supporters group, the Bayou City Blues, down at Kings Court?
I was there from 2 weeks ago. I was there 2 weeks ago.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Maybe one time I'll meet you down there. We'll watch a Chelsea game together, all right?
All right.
Sounds
take
great.
Care.
Thank you,
nice
AY. Thank you so much. Yep. So, love when AY calls in. And Victor Moses, we got to get a Super Eagle in that Chelsea lineup a little bit more. He's fun to watch. Okay, we're going to take a break right now. A reminder here, this is the first hour presented by the Texas Children's Hospital. And I want you to know the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers are the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Okay, this is a shining star in our medical center. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials dedicated to childhood cancer and blood disorders. A lot of my friends have had their children there, and I've met them through their children, visiting them, because I got a garage full of soccer balls, thanks to Nike, that we go down there and hand out to patients. For more than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. Texas Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit. It relies on generous donations from our friends in the community for research. Every year, hundreds of children are diagnosed at TCH. It isn't a job. It's a life for Texas Children's. And, you know, that's the moment when you say you're fortunate your children didn't get childhood cancer, because, you know, these parents, what they go through, and these children who are absolute warriors, absolutely amazing stuff. So right now, caller number six, as we go to a commercial break, you know, I always say number six, Tyler. Caller number six right now, you got a signed Mexico jersey. I'm holding it up here to Victor Ariza in studio so he can take a photo of it, because I'd love to have this for my own collection. But this one's going to go out to somebody lucky. Number six at 713-780-3776. Mexico in town on the 7th to take on Edison Cavani, Luis Suarez, and Uruguay. Let's take a break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Alba, beautiful work there for Gressel. Keeps it in front of him. PC on his heels. Now there is Joseph Martinez.
And how about a word for our great friends at Bud Light? All special edition Bud Light Texas packaging is brewed right here in Texas, which means it's brewed to go perfect, yes, with barbecue. Like East Texas barbecue, Central Texas barbecue, South Texas, and West Texas barbecues. Basically, all barbecue. Enjoy responsibly. AB, Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. By the way, when I moved here, I had never had a thing called barbecue how it's meant here in Texas. And first time I had it, I was like, man, I'm glad I moved to Houston. It's not something you got readily on the East Coast in my household growing up. 713-780-3776. Let's get your thoughts. Do you want to talk some Red Bull and Dynamo? Let's get a little bit of a take on the Dynamo here and really where they are and be in a bit of reality right here, because it has been a tough time for the Dynamo. Hanging right in there. Last win, July 7th. It's been a while. They are on the road again. And I can give you some analytics here in a second. Before I do, though, I just want to remind you about Liberty Kitchen. Great modern comfort food at Liberty Kitchen. Beautiful neighborhood restaurants, River Oaks, Memorial City, Heights, all designed by my friend Carl Eves. Gulf Coast influence, raw bar and oysters, smoked Seattle salmon, the signature bacon jam, which is absolutely out of this world. Mac and cheese is a guest favorite, and it's one of mine at Liberty Kitchen. Great for brunch, business meetings, or plain hanging out. Great mixed cocktails, wine, and beer. We will see you at the Liberty Kitchen. We thank Liberty Kitchen for their support of this show. We've had them in studio with food, and I think they're going to be coming back in pretty soon, I believe. So let's go back to the Dynamo and just remind you about what is up for the Dynamo tomorrow night. So the Dynamo at the Red Bulls in Harrison, New Jersey tomorrow night, Red Bull Arena. It's back in my old neighborhood. Dynamo now 10th in the West. They're 10 points out of the final playoff spot held by the LA Galaxy, who are in sixth. The Dynamo have two games in hand on them. But look, here's the reality. The record is 7-11-7, 28 points, 6-5-3 at home, a place where they only lost once last year. The road remains the same from last year, 1-6-4, although the Dynamo seem a better road team this year. Their last win, July 7th against Minnesota. They're coming off a 1-1 draw with FC Dallas, if you were at that game, who they will then turn around and play Saturday after tomorrow night's game against the New York Red Bulls. That game Saturday will be in Frisco. Tomorrow night's game, if you want to catch it, it's on the Cube. Join Eddie Robinson and I for the call of that one. New York Red Bulls taking on our Houston Dynamo. Now, if 50 points is the benchmark to play to make the playoffs, the Dynamo are on 28 points with 9 games to go. Essentially, they got to take 22 points out of 27. They have to win at least 7 or 8 out of 9. It's difficult. The Dynamo did get 50 points last year, if you remember, returning to the playoffs under Wilmer Cabrera. However, they have never won a regular season game at Red Bull Arena. So that's, I think it's about one game at a time now. I think it's about playing for your fan base. I think it's playing for your livelihood. And I think it's playing for preparation for what is ultimately going to be the biggest piece to this Dynamo season, and that's winning the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Because you're there and you're in the final against the Philadelphia Union. That's September 26th. So what is the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup? I don't think we have done a good enough job of explaining what it is. So the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup is modeled after kind of the FA Cup. It began in 1914. It began in the United States in and around major cities to a large degree because ethnic groups, when they immigrated here, brought the game they love, soccer. Okay, it goes way, way back. And professional soccer, believe it or not, goes farther back than most people know in this country. It goes a lot farther back in Houston, which most people don't know either. You know, soccer didn't begin at the professional level in 2006 here in Houston. It goes all the way back to 1969 and the Astrodome. Whole nother story, but it's important for us to know that. It's important when we bid for a World Cup to know that there is soccer history that dates back to 1969 in the Houston Stars, in the Astrodome, which at the time, as a dome stadium, was considered one of the great wonders of the world. People would drive here just to see it. A guy named Bobby Lennox played there, won the European Cup with Celtic. They called him the Lisbon Lions. So we must take stock in this. And we must take stock in how far back the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup goes. It was mainly for amateur teams or semi-pro teams in the day until the entry of MLS teams. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. Out of the three major tournaments that we have, you know, the first one is obviously, well, I mean, it depends. Let's give Toronto FC real credit. They decided to sacrifice some league games in MLS to try and win the CONCACAF Champions League because they want to be globally branded. And sadly, they were so close, and we were all pulling for Toronto FC. I certainly was. in the CONCACAF Champions League because I wanted to see them get to the World Club World Cup, play against the Real Madrid, play against the Barcelona. I think that's significant. I think that's important for an MLS team to ultimately do that. I think we've all gotten tired of seeing Mexico dominate it, and they have dominated it. I don't think there's any question. Nobody can deny that. 713-780-3776. So I did like that from Toronto FC. Now, it may cost them the playoffs this year because they've really, really struggled. They've had some injury problems, but so has everybody. But they've struggled to get back on track. Every time you think Toronto FC is getting on track again with their superstars like Bradley, Jovinko, Altidor, they falter again. You know, they win that one game and you go, okay, they're turning the corner. And then it just kind of flatlines again. But if we were to put in context, MLS Cup, CONCACAF Champions League seems to be the most important to clubs. And then there's a Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, also important. There have been teams that have used the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup to certainly grow their brand. Yes, it is a trophy. $300,000 prize money that can be used effectively. And most importantly, its entrance into the CONCACAF Champions League. So this game on September 26th, based on the context of where the Dynamo are trying to, you know, get in the playoffs, which I honestly, you're going to have to go on one heck of a winning streak. I think the Dynamo have only won back-to-back games this year once. Doesn't mean things can't happen. Leicester City won the Premier League title. But I think the playoffs are mathematically possible. Let's just leave it at that. But the Open Cup can be something positive to grab out of this season. But I do think players are playing for jobs. I do think there's a lot of pride. I think Dynamo fans want to see the Dynamo fight to the end, no matter what. I think that's a must. So tomorrow night, you take it one game at a time. It's the New York Red Bulls. 19-year-old Tyler Adams, expected to go to Red Bull Leipzig. Shep Messing will talk about him later on the show. Dynamo coming off a 1-1 draw with FC Dallas. We saw a wonderful goal from a young Dynamo player named Bernardo Peña with a fantastic turn at the top of the box. And again, I've mentioned before, this is a kid who under Rafael Dudamel was one of the top three players when it comes to the under-20 Venezuelan national team that got all the way to the final only to lose to England. It's a very, very good team. There was a guy, Adalberto Peñaranda, who I think was linked to a Spanish team, if I remember correctly. But I called that final, and it was a very good Venezuela team. Josef Martinez, Venezuela, set the all-time goal-scoring record in Major League Soccer with 28. You just heard the goal call Tyler Scott played of his record-setting goal. He'll get another 6 or 7 this year. He's blown that record out of the water that was held by Chris Wondolowski, Roy Lassiter, and I think Bradley Wright Phillips, too, if I'm not mistaken. Bradley Wright Phillips on the New York Red Bulls this weekend. So, the Red Bulls are 2 points behind Atlanta. If there was a single table, the Red Bulls would be in second place out of all these teams. It's impressive. They've done it with many East Coast players. So the Red Bulls are not one of the higher spending teams in Major League Soccer. But if you look over their roster, there was a lot of East Coast, New Jersey, New York, Long Island connection. Okay, what am I talking about? I'm talking about Tyler Adams, Wappinger Falls, New York. All guys from around the area. Aaron Long went to Duke, I think, played on the Red Bull Academy teams. You had Matt Miazga, who's now over in Europe. Chelsea signed him and loaned him out. So the foil to maybe not spending as many dollars is having a very, very effective and good academy. We're going to talk to Shep Messing with that. The Dynamo have hired a new academy man, Paul Holliker, and we're going to get him on the show. And Paul and I have had a little contact. I'm sure he's busy getting set up, but we'll get him on the show. It's, to me, unacceptable that we have not produced a full-time, game-in and game-out starter for the Houston Dynamo. It's unacceptable. 6.5 million people here. There is a gold mine in this city. And if it's nurtured correctly, can reap huge benefits for the Houston Dynamo. And I'm not calling anybody out. But this is fact. I know this. I spent 12 years in the youth community here. Even back in my day, we were supplying MLS with a lot of players from this area. Lots of players. Chris Bondi, Rusty Pierce, Baba Brothers. We got history. We got to start embracing it. We got to start owning it. We got to start taking control of it. Our soccer community. All right. Let me get off my soapbox. Okay. Going to go to a break. There's opportunity for youth here. We can do this. Can absolutely do this. All right. Tranquility Home Systems. What you can also do is get 4K video technology in your house. You know that, Victor. You want a crystal clear experience watching the Premier League, watching the Dynamo on the Cube? You go to THS. It's THS3Inc.com. Jesse, here's his number. Call him for an estimate. 281-506-7822 for all your home theater needs. Jesse, my good friend, you love sports. Don't deny yourself that home theater setup, especially now with the Premier League back in action. Bundesliga is back in there now. La Liga, Serie A started 2 weeks ago. Get it. Alvaro won the signed Mexico jersey. Alvaro, thank you very much for listening to the show. Once you hang it up, Alvaro, in that man cave of yours, and you know where you got all your jerseys hanging, I want a picture. Twitter, Glenn Davis sock. Okay, Alvaro, I want a picture. Because you know what? I looked at that jersey, and I'm like, wow, that's nice. We've also got, but it's a smaller size, so I want to make that clear right now. Smaller size Edison Cavani Uruguay jersey. This is a Puma jersey. We're going to give that away to caller number 8 now with a pair of tickets to Mexico, Uruguay. Caller number 8, 713-780-3776. First hour brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. Thank you.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue to roll on. By the way, I don't know if you saw on the weekend, Gerard Piqué of Barcelona, they were playing at Real Valladolid. The surface at Real Valladolid was just tearing up remarkably. So here's what Piqué said. He said he called it a disgrace, and then he said, and we know that Real Valladolid is going to face disciplinary action. For me, this was a big blemish on La Liga and Valladolid, but Gerard Piqué got crazy. He said, quote, look, if the league wants to sell the product outside of Spain, he's referring to this game that could take one game a year taking place in the United States. He says, if the league wants to sell the product outside of Spain and take the games to the United States, they need to look at what is going on here first. The field was a disgrace, and there was a risk of injury to players. Shameful and deplorable. He went on to say it was kind of like running on a beach. But man, I'm watching that game and I'm going, how bad that field was. And I'm just thinking of the price tag on these players that are running around on this surface. 713-780-3776 is the number. Cristiano Ronaldo, home opener for Juventus this past weekend. They were 2-0 winners over Lazio. Still hasn't gotten his first goal. Goals coming from Pjanic and Mandzukic. CR7's goalless in two matches in the Serie A. But he did do some good things. He's going to score his goals. Don't worry. I don't think he's going to come close to the Real Madrid numbers, but he's going to score goals. It's a work in progress. His role has been so defined at Real Madrid, including those around him over the years. It'll take time. He's going to score goals. Just my humble opinion. John Brooks, U.S. international defender, scored for Wolfsburg 2-1 win over Schalke. Had a header off a corner. Surprise. Also conceded a late penalty. Fabian Johnson scoring for Mönchengladbach in a 2-0 win over Leverkusen. El Tráfico ended 1-1 between LAFC and LA Galaxy. Tremendous competition in that game. Two observations. You have to keep an eye on LAFC. There's a lot being asked of Lee Wynn and Benny Failhaber over the course of the year. But they do have depth. But those two are critical, and they do a lot of work. Galaxy still a struggle with their back three or back four. But, you know, everybody's got challenges in this league. Everybody. Every team has a soft underbelly somewhere. We can find out where it is. I don't think there's any question with that. Okay, so last night we had a Met governor, who is the former Secretary General of the Turkish Soccer Federation. We talked some of the Turkish Superliga. Talked about the absolute lack of player development from any of those clubs. Now, we're going to run a lot of the Shep Messing interview tonight, but we went longer because we were talking about a bunch of things. So we're going to put the extended version on podcastarena.com. You are not going to believe, number one, what Shep Messing says about the Houston Dynamo, what he believes should happen here. You will also not believe what he says when it comes to academies in the United States. He's got a very different take, and you may not believe it. So there's something to look forward to. So we got Shep Messing coming up in the next hour. We've got Dr. Dreyer, one of the great doctors down at Texas Children's Hospital. Wonderful, candid conversation with her and what goes on with pediatric cancer in the Texas Children's Hospital. That'll be in the second hour as well. And again, we thank the Texas Children's Hospital for being our first hour presenting sponsor. Second hour is the Daspit Law Firm. And then we've also got Warren Barton. And Warren and I do a bit of back and forth on Manchester United, Jose Mourinho, the right fit. Is it all really just about the fact that we haven't been able to buy another center back and Harry Maguire of Leicester? And, we kind of break it down a little bit. Not that it needs it anymore. But there's no correct answer to this. Look, if you're a loyalist for Manchester United, you got to support no matter what. Okay? Jose's your guy. You might have been clapping for him in Old Trafford at the end of that game. So let me get to the phone lines. And Jose, he wants to talk Liga MX. Jose, what's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to see what your thoughts on were with Cruz Azul and the unbelievable start they've had. And when you think they'll be most challenged coming up in these weeks?
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I wish my friend Rodrigo de Luna was here today because he follows top to bottom Cruz Azul. I know they're off to a great start. I know they break people's hearts. They haven't won a title in like 20 years, right, Victor? They're wonderful at this whole Alphonse Gaston romanticism of winning the title and then breaking our hearts and shattering them, those cementeros. I've been in that stadium, by the way. Never played against Cruz Azul. I did play against Unam Pumas. They are off to a fantastic start. They got people thinking very differently about what the potential is and where they can spread their wings this year and how far they can go. I'm just looking here. They've got a full 9 points, right? What do they say? No, 17 points.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Cruz Azul, Monterrey, and Santos Laguna. I've got to get a little bit more up on this. I'm gonna make it a plan to watch Cruz Azul coming up here. I'm going to put it back to you because you've been watching them. What makes you feel that Cruz Azul can win this Liga MX title?
I guess the problems in the past were always
front office, the managers.
Exactly, and I think having our new general manager and bringing the players on time and not bringing them at third or fourth week. That helped a lot. I think Santos Laguna was a pretty tough matchup, and they escaped with a tie. Toluca was a huge test for them. They outplayed Cruz Azul, and Cruz Azul still ended up walking away with a win. So just the difference that Caixinha makes. In the past, they would lose games in the last 3 minutes. They didn't know how to capitalize on the wins.
They couldn't close games out.
They couldn't close, and just the whole change. It just seems like when they moved out of the Estadio Azul into Azteca, you almost feel like a change of wind. And I think their tests were becoming. I mean, they have Veracruz, and Veracruz is this dumpster fire right now. With all the allegations that are coming out with their double contracting.
Let's not get into the whole double contracting thing here tonight, Jose. Listen, Jose, I'm up on a hard break here. Thank you very much for the phone call. Stay on the line. Would you like a pair of tickets to Mexico against Uruguay?
Oh, yes, definitely.
I'll tell you what, because you brought the Liga MX up tonight, and you're such a big fan of Cruz Azul, you're going to that game. Stay on the line.
Oh,
we're going to get your information. You're going to that game, buddy, for this great phone call. Awesome. We thank you for that, okay?
Thank you so much. I listen to you, Radio, your show all the time, and keep up the good work.
I'm going to lift my Liga MX game for you, okay, Jose? You called me out tonight,
thank you,
glad you did that. Thank you. And best of luck to Cruz Azul. Stay on the line, please. Don't go. Okay, we're going to take a break here. How about that? Love these callers, man. Callers are so passionate. I mean, that man speaking about Cruz Azul right there, that hits you. Friendship between Bud Light and Texas goes back over 30 years. Ever since the first Bud Light rolled out at the Houston Brewery, enjoy responsibly AB Bud Light Beer Houston, Texas. All special edition Texas packaging is brewed in Texas. Second hour again. We've got Dr. Dreyer from Texas Children's Hospital. We'll close the show with that. We've also got Shep Messing, the color analyst for the New York Red Bulls and former New York Cosmo goalkeeper. We've also got Warren Barton, former defender for Newcastle. These are great interviews coming up. Don't miss these. These are wonderful interviews. Quick word here before we hit break. FM Bar and Kitchen, one block north of Washington on Shepherd. Get in there. Catch the Dynamo on the Cube tomorrow night. Join Eddie Robinson and I for the call of that one. You can watch it at FM Bar and Kitchen. Great patio, 13 monitors for all your World Cup and sports watching. Go in there, say hello to Ryan. The chicken sandwiches are out of this world. Salads, you name it. I mean, this is not your normal pub food, by the way. And a big thanks, as always, to all our sponsors. First hour has been presented by the Texas Children's Hospital. Let's take a break. Let's come back with more. And congratulations to Jose. He's going to see Mexico and Uruguay on the 7th of September at Energy Stadium.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler,